SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Friday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. One final day on this week, but 3 hours together live to set the stage for your weekend. The final weekend of Major League Baseball before the All-Star break. A 12-game Thursday slate to break down for you with historic rookie performances out of Mr. Paul Skeens. On Skeens Day number 11, almost a no-hit bid for the entirety of the game, but the entirety of his outing. We'll go all around Major League Baseball. We'll talk a little football here on this Friday. Action in the WNBA ahead of this weekend as well, with the All-Star break and the Olympic break in the W on the horizon, and a weekend of championships at the All England Club. Donnie's favorite sport, that is tennis. The championships, Wimbledon. We will have a women's final tomorrow, a men's final on Sunday. Two soccer finals on Sunday. The European Championship between England and Spain. The Copa America title in Miami between Argentina and Colombia. So much to break down, DRS, in these 3 hours.
It's going to be fantastic. And yesterday, we always like to talk about when that radar is locking in Major League Baseball. Just about everything we touched yesterday came up aces, which included a late bottom of the eighth inning Schwarber solo blast into the second deck to cash my play of the day. A lot of things around Major League Baseball went the right direction. The Phillies had an unbelievable performance. The Braves struggling a little bit. What's going on with the Dodgers? Boy, the topics are going to hit hard this morning, Ben. No doubt about it.
DRS, I think every bet that you said you liked yesterday on the baseball diamond came through, including that Schwarber that kept Donnie Wrightside up until 9:15 p.m. Eastern time or something of the sort, but he had to make sure he cashed that ticket, and he did. In his second game, or two games in a row, Kyle Schwarber goes deep. Trey Turner, a couple of long balls against his former team this week in the midweek set. And in a matchup that potentially could be the NLCS, by the time we get to the end of October, the upper hand goes to Philadelphia. The Phils victorious yesterday over the Dodgers by a final score of 5-1. The Phillies sweep the Dodgers this week in this marquee midweek set.
Did the Phillies win the NL pennant yesterday because they swept the Dodgers in three games? No, not necessarily, but it certainly helped them along a World Series trajectory, because what that did yesterday, Ben, was give the Phillies a 6.5 game lead over the Dodgers. Take advantage of teams that are injured. The Dodgers starting pitchers are injured. The Phillies starting pitching is not injured. They won those three games and look good doing it. And by the way, if you're just taking a look, that Dodgers lineup, again, Mookie Betts isn't there. He'll be back. Right. Still very formidable. The Phillies gave up 5 runs over three games at Citizens Bank Ballpark with temperatures in the 90s and the wind blowing out every single game. That's crazy to give up that little runs against the Dodgers here. A great performance all the way through. Very impressive by the Philadelphia Phillies. And now the Oakland Athletics are on the schedule before the break. Could the Phillies be back to a 10-plus game lead in the NL East? That's wild.
As the Atlanta Braves and the Arizona Diamondbacks split their four-game set in Phoenix, as Donnie mentioned, Philly extends its lead to 9.5 games in the National League East. And the difference, by the way, in terms of the Dodgers and the Phils for that top spot in the National League, about 6.5 games following the midweek sweep for Philadelphia over L.A. We'll have plenty more around Major League Baseball a little bit later on from that specific National League series as well, to see if the odds shifted at all. The odds shifted individually in a big way yesterday for one Paul Skeens. Skeens Day number 11 in the history of Major League Baseball. And speaking of history in Major League Baseball, that's what Skeens made yesterday. 7 innings of shutout and no hit work for the Buccos on the road in Milwaukee against the Brewers. Skeens striking out 11. The overall record this year for Paul Skeens in his 11 starts: 6-0 with a 1.90 ERA. The Pirates win yesterday 1-0. They're 8-3 in the 11 starts that Paul Skeens has made in that history. The second road start of Paul Skeens' career, again, only in 11 outings that he has gone on the road, he has shut out an opponent, he has no hit an opponent, and he has recorded 10 or more strikeouts. He did it in his second start of his career back on May 17th in Wrigley against the Chicago Cubs. Donnie, one pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball has had two road starts in his career where he is shut out and no hit an opponent in his outing and record 10 or more strikeouts. And his name is Paul Skenes. He has done that in 2 months in the bigs.
Living up to the hype, it's awesome to watch you play out. Now, we are going to have an entire section here that we're going to dedicate to Paul Skenes, so I don't want to go over some of those, you know, off-topic numbers that we're going to bring up as it pertains to what he can do historically, but he was phenomenal yesterday. We expected it. Craig Mitch was on with us and just basically simply said, what's his strikeout prop? Oh, it's 7.5. You got to bet it to the over. And he was running that down early, first inning, second inning, third inning, easily racking up those strikeouts. An impressive performance, but I can't wait to get to some of those hot topics dealing with Paul Skenes in a bit.
Yeah, I know you'll have some takes like how much longer is Pittsburgh going to let him get out there? Will he start the National League or for the National League in the MLB All-Star game on Tuesday in Arlington? So a sweep in Philadelphia, a rather surprising sweep in Baltimore. The O's entered this week as one of the top teams in the American League against a struggling Chicago Cubs side. The Cubbies pull off the sweep inside Camden Yards with a big shutout victory yesterday over the O's, 8-0. Two back-to-back blankings of Baltimore's in the last 2 days. And yesterday, Justin Steele absolutely dealt. The Cubs sweep the O's, the first time Baltimore has been swept at home since August of 2021.
Yeah, and by the way, coming into it yesterday, handicapping it, we knew the better pitcher on the mound was not on the Baltimore Orioles. And some people say, like, what do you mean, Donnie? Suarez had an unbelievable ERA and incredibly low numbers at Camden Yards. That doesn't matter here. Take a look at the xFIP numbers. He was due to get beat up a bit, and he did yesterday. 5 innings pitched, 4 earned runs, only 4 strikeouts yesterday. And look at his ERA, still at 2.82. And I told you, Steele was the much better pitcher on the mound yesterday. And how about that? A sweep for the Chicago Cubs. We talked just a few days prior. You know what? Should be an easy series for the Orioles. They are limping with another tough game coming up on deck today against the New York Yankees, I believe.
Now we go to the lone game yesterday in the WNBA. That's the New York Liberty and the Chicago Sky. Angel Reese got to what she needed to. 10 points, 10 rebounds. If you look at the play-by-play down the stretch, a couple of missed layups, a couple of offensive rebounds. We'll leave it at that, but the double-double streak does continue. It reaches now 15 straight games. The New York Liberty, though, a 15-point victory at home. The WNBA's best team covers as a 9.5-point home favorite inside the Barclays Center. New York now 19-4 this season.
We'll talk more on this later, but it is apparent that even more than winning, this double-double streak is very important to this franchise. And I told you yesterday, just continue to bet it, because when it's apparent that they're just headhunting a double-double every night at all costs, continue to bet it, people.
Angel Reese was -320 to record that double-double yesterday. She makes good on that number. Kyle Lowry, the veteran point guard, returning to his hometown, Philadelphia 76ers. We talk about the Villanova Knicks. How about Kyle Lowry staying in Philly?
I like it, man. Veteran presence in the backcourt. The Sixers had a fantastic offseason so far.
Jamal Adams, a 3-time Pro Bowler, but maybe has lost his fastball, signing a 1-year deal with the Tennessee Titans, leaving the Seattle Seahawks to add to that Tennessee secondary.
Yeah, exactly. He's running out of steam right now. Hopefully he can regain some of that Pro Bowl form we saw way back in the Jets and early in his Seattle career.
Yeah, back in 2020, he had 9.5 sacks. That was the most we've ever seen from a DB in NFL history. Has only played 10 games the last 2 seasons combined. The Wimbledon final is set on the women's side. Jasmine Paolini, for her second straight Grand Slam, is into that final. Barbora Krejcikova, I hope I said that right, she upset yesterday Alina Rybakina. I'm all over the place. We'll talk tennis a little bit later on. Major League Baseball recaps next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
How could you be feeling anything but great in Philadelphia after a three-game sweep and a potential NLCS preview between the two top teams to win the National League pennant and the World Series entering this week. And entering the Major League Baseball All-Star break, the Philadelphia Phillies take all three games in a midweek set on the marquee matchup against the L.A. Dodgers. Yesterday, a 5-1 victory in the finale. The Phillies with Aaron Nola on the bump, booked as a minus 158 home money line favorite. In fact, the Phillies DRS booked as a home favorite in all three games at the bank, and they beat the Dodgers each and every time. Brandon Marsh yesterday, a home run, an RBI triple. Trey Turner, his second home run in this set against his former team. And Kyle Schwarber, his second Schwar bomb in as many games as the Phils. Win all three against L.A., making a statement for all of the NL and MLB.
Yeah, and all you need to know is that first three batters in the lineup here for the Los Angeles Dodgers with so much talent and power, Ohtani, Freeman, and Smith, 0-4, 0-4, and 0-3. You're going to win a lot of those ball games against the Dodgers if you can do that. And Aaron Nola was sensational yesterday. Six innings pitched, four hits, one earned run, nine Ks, and two walks here. That's what you want from one of your aces on the staff going up in a big series against the Dodgers. And we talked about it. Yes, the Phillies should have been favored all three games because it's always about, are you home and away, and who's the better pitcher on the mound? It's been the Phillies all three games here. As we said, five total runs scored against Phillies pitching here in three games in a hitter's ballpark in great weather for hitting. That is fantastic for the Phillies, and even at some clutch moments there where the bullpen did get out of some jams. The Phillies have a great 1-9, great starting pitching and a great bullpen right now, and it's really showing up. Now, we always preface by saying this, Ben. This isn't the Dodgers team that you're going to get. It's not going to be Bander versus Nola in game two of the NLCS. Yeah. You're probably going to have one of those healthy players coming back on the IL or making a move. So from a Phillies perspective, as we talked about to open the show, it was a very important series for them. Extend away from the Dodgers, now 6.5 games away from them, which means you are in line now for that number one seed and home field advantage, which is very, very important. But keep in mind, once the Dodgers get to the playoffs, this team is going to look completely different. Nice to beat the Dodgers. The takeaway is, yes, the Phillies right now are the best team in baseball, but we're going to wait until we see that final product for the Dodgers. But a great series for the Phillies taking the sweep here.
Listen, some could argue that LA's IL roster might be its everyday roster as of this moment, especially with that starting staff, Tyler Glasnow, Yoshi Yamamoto, and so many other pitchers like Clayton Kershaw and Dustin May not back out on the field just yet. Regardless, though, Philadelphia takes care of business in the way they were expected. The last two series sweeps for the Phillies, they've won a lot of series in the last month. The last two sweeps Philadelphia has accomplished over the Brewers at the beginning of June. Milwaukee third best record in the National League, leading the NL Central, and the LA Dodgers this week. The Dodgers the second best record in the NL, still well in front in the National League West, of course. The Dodgers an underdog in all three games in this set for eight total times this year, now just 2-6 straight up. Again, we'll get to those numbers in just a moment, but to really break down this series, you want your biggest stars to perform on the biggest stages against your best opponents. Trey Turner, two home runs, six ribbies in this set against the Dodgers. Kyle Schwarber back in action, a home run in each of the past two games. Brandon Marsh, a couple of home runs and three RBIs in this set against LA. Trey Turner DRS, six home runs in the last nine games for the Phils. He is looking every bit the part of everything Philadelphia expected. You have to be optimistic if you are the Phillies entering this All-Star break, not only because you have the league's best record, but you are looking like the definition of a World Series contender.
100%. And also, let's remind ourselves last year, Ben, as you pointed out, like Trey Turner signed a 10-year, $300 million contract, which looked like a complete bust for the first 3 months of the season last year. Like, what did we sign up for? Not playing great defense, not hitting at the plate, not hitting for power. Oh, my goodness. And then all of a sudden, that crazy standing ovation when he wasn't playing so well at home against the Kansas City Royals, which he lit into a home run. He's now one of the best players in baseball since that moment. And if you are taking a look at the top four batters in that lineup, which includes Trey Turner, like, we always talk about Kyle Schwarber. Hey, you know, get what you get. He's going to hit 210, but he's going to walk a lot and hit home runs. He's up to 250 now. Look at Trey Turner last year, was struggling. He's hitting 348. Bryce Harper, who's one of those guys, again, I'm going to hit around 250, but I'm going to have clutch moments and hit home runs. He's hitting 298. Alec Bohm, 292 with a million RBI. This team, the players that you need to lean on are really providing. And that's why the Phillies have 61 wins at this moment now. It's no longer guys playing to their average. It's superstar players playing above their pay grade, if that's even possible. That's how you win all these games.
And DRS, what stands out? We mentioned the Dodgers were an underdog in all three games in Philadelphia. All right. The Phils have the best record in baseball, the most wins, the only team that has hit the 60-win benchmark, and they have 61. You would expect the Phils, with the second-best price to win a World Series, to be a favorite in pretty much every game. They're 52-25 as a favorite straight up this year, taking care of business when they are expected to. Let's go even deeper now, because the odds to be the National League number one seed, the top seed in the postseason, playoff home field advantage for the entirety of a run in October, the Phils are now minus 270. They have opened up a 6.5 game advantage over the Dodgers, 7.5 in front of Milwaukee, and of course a 9.5 game lead now in front of the Atlanta Braves. The Dodgers only a game clear of Milwaukee for what would be that second spot in the NL postseason bracket to earn that other opening round bye straight in to the division series. Speaking of the Braves, they won the first two games in Phoenix. It was a four-game win streak. Now a two-game skid as the Diamondbacks split the four-game series against Atlanta with a 1-0 victory yesterday. Only run, Eugenio Suarez. Solo shot in the fifth for the Diamondbacks. Brandon Pfaadt out dealing Max Fried. Six innings of shutout work, only allowing three hits. Arizona wins 1-0.
This is when it gets fun, when you're handicapping knowing that you have a pretty good series and these teams down at this point. Yesterday, we told you, the day before, we told you that this game was going to be an over and they had 12 total runs. Yesterday, I was like, you know what? This is going to be a coin flip game. It ends 1-0. But also, we told you the better play in this game was the under. Doesn't get any better than a 1-0 final. That's a nice win for the Diamondbacks on a series win. And also, the Braves, no shame. This is how they do it. They're supposed to play under games, but win them. They didn't yesterday.
Highest under percentage in all of baseball. More in MLB next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As we welcome you back to this Friday, live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid, we look back on a pretty full Thursday, 12 games in MLB to set the stage for the final weekend of the first half of this year, at least before the All-Star break. Yesterday, the rubber match at the Trop between the struggling New York Yankees and the Tampa Bay Rays. The Yanks, who won the second game on Wednesday evening, they had dropped 16 of their last 21 entering. We're looking to win a series finally in Tampa. Unable to do that. Eight consecutive winless sets for the Pinstripes as the Rays hold on for a 5-4 win in a series victory. The Yanks were a slight road favorite. They did not win. Shane Boz making his second start of the year for Tampa. Pretty solid. The Yankees had a shot, DRS, in the top of the ninth. Ben Rice, the rookie, filling in for Anthony Rizzo, an RBI single. Runners on the corners for Gleyber Torres up at the dish. He flies out to end the game. So the Rays win 5-4. They take this midweek set against the Yankees.
No surprise yesterday the way this game turned out, and also getting that 5-4, which is interesting. You probably thought this game would have stayed more towards an under than an over because it's in the Trop. But Nestor Cortez coming into this game, if you're looking just at ERA, okay, he was having a decent season, but some of those numbers got a little bit fallible there, talking about those xFIP and xFIP minus numbers were a little bit high. 4 1/3 innings pitched, 7 hits, 5 earned runs giving up, including a home run here. You do have to score more runs, I get it, but if you're going to get 4 in the Trop, Typically, that's good enough to win baseball games. It wasn't yesterday. Now, the Yankees themselves getting a little bit lucky. Why? Because the Baltimore Orioles in a series, they should have handled their business, did not do that. So the Yankees are fine setting up a huge series this weekend against their division rival in the Baltimore Orioles. But just getting back to yesterday, having a couple RBI looks, I went with the Rosarena and Paredes. I came away with a Rosarena two RBI night, which was fine with me. Yeah. Thought Tampa Bay would win. They did that also. Nice win for them. 46-47, just hanging around, I guess you could say, that wild card race for Tampa Bay. We'll see what they have in the second half. But for the Yankees, this next series means a ton. Would have been nice for them to beat Tampa Bay in that final game of the series. Weren't able to do so, but they're going to go toe-to-toe with the O's next.
The Rays were swept over this past weekend by the reigning World Series champs, the Rangers, but they entered the weekend winning 10 of their previous 14. They win this set 2 of 3, now just a game below 500, as Tampa is trying to make the American League East the only division in baseball with at least four teams at a 500 record or better. The American League Central, not all that far away from that at this moment either. You mentioned the Yankees not really losing ground despite losing this midweek series, because the O's uncharacteristically swept at home in Baltimore by the Chicago Cubs in a huge and defining series win for the Cubbies. 8-0 yesterday, blanking Baltimore for a second consecutive game to pull off the sweep. Justin Steele, sensational. The Cubbies, an underdog in all three of these games. They cashed that plus money ticket all three times. Chicago's won 6 of its last 7 in a sweep in Baltimore. The first time the O's have been swept in Camden Yards since August 2021.
Yeah, and you know, it's crazy because we were talking about the Yankees saying, oh my goodness, they could be 5-plus games back at the All-Star break. Now, granted, technically they still might be if they get swept this weekend. We're not anticipating that, obviously. But the Baltimore Orioles missing a huge opportunity against a team they really should have handled. But also, Ben, this wasn't a case of, hey, look at the scores, man, 5-4, 3-2, 2-1, barely losses. They got hammered. Their offense was insignificant. Great hitting weather and a great hitter's ballpark. Something is wrong with the Baltimore Orioles, but also brings me back to my first point that I've been making on the Yankees for the past 2 weeks. Not giving up on them, right? This is baseball. On a day-to-day basis, you're going to get surprises like the Cubs sweeping the Baltimore Orioles in their own building. Yeah. I still think the Yankees are the best team in this division, and when it's all said and done, they will win the AL East. They're getting the breaks right now with the Orioles not taking advantage of their own games. We'll see what comes up this weekend, but this is why you just don't give up on it. Right. Like, oh my goodness, the sky is falling in. It's really not anymore. Yanks pick up a couple dubs, and also, they have the pitching advantage today. They can get within a game of those Baltimore Orioles.
The New York Yankees, a road favorite inside Camden. And the young rookie out of Nebraska for Baltimore, Cade Povich, has to go up against Gerrit Cole. It's why the Bombers are a favorite in Baltimore. And only a 2-game advantage for the O's, as Donnie said, could have extended this series advantage to a much larger number. The Yankees haven't won a series in 8 consecutive of them, and Baltimore still only a 2-game lead. I wonder how the O's will look back at this week, depending on what happens inside Camden Yards this weekend. Still an odds-on favorite is Baltimore to win the AL East at minus 130. Paul Skenes makes history again. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A historic Skenes Day yesterday. Paul Skenes Day number 11 in the history of Major League Baseball, and he lived up to every bit of the billing for the Pirates on the road in Milwaukee against the Brewers. The Buccos win 1-0. They take a series victory over Milwaukee, really back and forth. The Pirates won 12-2 on Tuesday. Milwaukee blanked Pittsburgh the following day, 9-0. Pittsburgh returns the favor with a simple 1-0 win. But the focus, of course, DRS, is Paul Skenes. 7 innings of no-hit work against the Brew Crew, striking out 11. It is the second time for Skenes in just 11 career starts in his first 2 months of his Major League Baseball career that he has gone on the road, as he did in his second start as well against the Chicago Cubs in Wrigley, and has worked 6 or more innings of no-hit baseball, striking out 10 plus. There is one pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball in a single career that has had two road starts of no-hit baseball, striking out 10 or more batters. And his name is Paul Skenes. He's done it in 2 months in his MLB career. You almost lose words to describe this sensational start, but I'll throw it in there. Of course, it is historic.
He's been amazing. There's no doubt about it. And also, take a look at the Pittsburgh Pirates now as a team after that 1-0 victory. 45-48 on the season. They're not out of the playoff race for the final wild card spots here. So maybe if they can make some moves as a franchise and see if they can acquire some talent. But that's not the question here. The question is, yesterday we told you the favorite were the Pittsburgh Pirates against a team that's much better than them in the Milwaukee Brewers. Why were the Pirates the favorite? The only reason is Paul Skenes. He's been that good this season. Now, also, talking about the historical nature of things, some people out there I know have tickets. They've shown me with unbelievable value on Paul Skenes to win the Cy Young. Also, take a look at Paul Skenes heading down the stretch. Can you make the playoffs? If he's going to win every fifth day, my goodness, that's really going to help you out. But here's where the issue pops up, and this is about Major League Baseball and its fans and what's right and it's what's wrong. There is no formula per se for, hey, if I throw 100 pitches and if I go to 102, my career is going to be shortened by 5 years. We don't know that's the case. Now, granted, there are metrics that say if your fastball typically tops out at 99 and in the seventh inning you're throwing 97, maybe we should get you out of here. I understand it. I also understand about the prudence of franchises trying to protect their investments, which is rightfully so. But sometimes when it's done with historics, where I would have loved the scene yesterday, Ben, if you had Paul Skenes in the seventh inning with a perfect game and you left him out of that. Because these are things that when your career is all said and done, same thing with golfers as well. How many championships have you won? How many tournaments have you won? Also, how many hole-in-ones have you had, right? Some of those things that really stick out with the public. Well, how do we grade pitchers? It's typically in the past. And again, things change. Wins, losses, strikeouts, no hitters, and perfect games. Why do we always bring up Nolan Ryan? Like, you don't even talk about Nolan Ryan, the great pitcher with all those wins. It's, man, he had so many no hitters, man. That goes on your mantle, on your plaque in Cooperstown here. And the fact that Paul Skenes had multiple chances in his rookie year to try to get no hitters and was pulled out of the baseball game, that's tough to swallow. Yeah. Because also, as I said again, you're looking at, let's just say he's going to win the Cy Young, and you say, okay, well, Zach Wheeler's going to win it. And I don't know what's going to happen with Zach Wheeler, but let's just say Zach Wheeler throws two no hitters down the stretch with 119, 120 pitches in those performances. Like, oh, you know what? He might win it because he got the no hitters. I'm just looking from a historical perspective where when it's all said and done, maybe Paul Skenes could have had 10 no hitters in his career, but wound up with none because we don't let him pitch.
You know, Donnie, it's a really good point, right? I guess it's the current landscape of Major League Baseball. You would never expect a rookie in his first 11 starts to go the full duration. It's just kind of what we're used to in the last 5-10 years or so. And I guess part of the reason he is so historic in that career distinction that I brought up, the first player in the history of MLB to go on the road multiple times in a career and have a no-hit bid and strike out 10-plus is because oftentimes, a no-hit bid is a full and complete game. 6 innings in that second career start in Chicago, 7 innings of work yesterday in Milwaukee. It's why Paul Skenes is separated from the rest. But I think it's just the nature of where things stand. Your point is very sound. I just don't think the expectation would ever be such a long leash that Paul Skenes would go the entirety of the game, even when he had a no-hitter going. 6-0 now, the record for Paul Skenes. 1.90, the ERA drops below 2. We told you yesterday, 7.5, the strikeout prop. The over had the juice. It's going to move up to 8.5. It's just where it's going to be. 11 Ks for Skenes, 8-plus Ks in 6 of his last 11 starts. And the Buccos no longer the distinction of a losing record as a favorite, just one of 4 teams around MLB to have that mark yesterday. Now back to an even 500, 19-19 straight up as a favorite side this year. Pittsburgh has won 8 of the 11 starts that Skenes has made. And Donnie, still my favorite narrative around Pittsburgh outside of Paul Skenes. Since the start of June, the Buccos have never been worse than 5 games below 500. They've never been better than 2 games below 500. Currently 45-48, 3 games below that winning record, or even 500 record, I should say.
Yeah, and you know what? The sky could be the limit here. They got a bunch of good young pitchers right now on their roster, and if they do make a couple changes at the trade deadline, why not give the Pittsburgh faithful here something to cheer about late in the season? And also, if you are a Skeens backer, we're not talking about just being a fan of Skeens. If you have a Cy Young award-winning prop, if you have a strikeout prop here, if you have a wins prop here, if they are in the race in the final 3 weeks of the season, there will be no talk of shutting them down. And as I say that, we've seen teams in the race shut players down before. If you remember, I believe it was Steven Strasburg for the Washington Nationals and Scott Boras stepping in late in the season where they could have used them. So we don't rule those type of things out, but it'd be very hard to swallow for Pittsburgh that's not used to making deep runs, going like, you're our best pitcher who might win the Cy Young 2 weeks late in the season. We're a game up in the wild card. We're shutting him down the rest of the way. That would be a tough pill to swallow for Pittsburgh.
Skeens now minus 550 to win National League Rookie of the Year. That's more than likely going to happen. 11-1 plus 1100 to win the National League Cy Young Award. We have co-favorites with Zach Wheeler and Chris Sale at plus 140, so a very large gap. But I know some on this network, Kevin Walsh, the sportsbook consig, Dave Sharapan, talked about it yesterday where his number opened up at 120-1 to win the National League Cy Young Award. A lot of movement on that number. Speaking of movement, how about the Detroit Tigers? They take 3 of 4 against the American League's best team. Not a good week for any of the teams atop the AL, the Guardians, the Orioles, or the Yankees, as the Tigers win big yesterday, 10-1, as a home favorite in the Motor City over Cleveland. They take 3 of 4 games in this set. Your guy, DRS Riley Green, delivers at the dish. Yep. 3 ribbies yesterday. Detroit swept Cincinnati over the weekend. They take 3 of 4 against Cleveland. The Tigers have won 8 of their last 11 as they get ready for their final weekend before the All-Star break.
Some people just reading lines. Oh, my goodness. You're going to tell me Cleveland's getting plus money against a terrible team like Detroit? We told you yesterday, by far, I don't care if how Flaherty was nicked up a little bit and maybe at the trade deadline he's going to be moved and that's weighing on his mind. 6 innings pitch, 1 earned run. I expected a type of performance like that. And also, Spencer Howard, a terrible major league pitcher who's a starting pitcher, the only one maybe in history that's only designed to go 2 to 3 innings and always get hammered, it feels like. He did again yesterday. 3 innings pitch, 7 hits, and 4 earned runs. We also told you that Keith should be on your roster for an RBI. He got that. And as you said, Riley Green, 3 RBI should have been on your, like, that was one where the radar was locked in. And if you were just saying, I'll take the plus money with the Guardians against a bad team, you were wrong because everything was going against you yesterday. Am I saying it was supposed to be a 10-1 victory? No, but the Tigers were the better team coming in and they proved that yesterday.
DRS, we'll talk a little bit more Major League Baseball on the other side. For one final odds look before we get to the final weekend, before the All-Star break. But here is that metaphorical fork that we have debated with the Houston Astros all year long. If we would stick it in them and call it a season on the American League pennant favorites before the year, here is that fork. Snapped. Broken. Gone. The Astros sweep the Miami Marlins yesterday, as expected, 6-3. The Astros, 5 games above 500. Pay attention to Houston. We'll talk more next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
My co-host, Donnie Wrightside, man, he has an ability. I think his greatest ability, we'll talk about his ability to break down baseball and how great of a day he had yesterday, but he has a rare ability. In the final 5 seconds before we return to commercial break to give you an all-time zinger, he holds it for 1 minute and 55 seconds, and then right before our producer, Joe Friso, says, you're live, he throws in a subtle comment that often makes me laugh, and that's why you saw that there. DRS, right before the break, as we continue. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
Let me say, I was just doing a quick math here, right? Let me know if my math is right. 8 to 12 is 4 hours. 12 to 6 is 6 hours. 4 + 6 is 10. Is that correct? Okay.
Yes.
I just wanted to get that out there. I just wanted to make sure.
No, I think that makes a ton of sense in terms of the timeline that you painted. As we said right before the break, the fork is done. It's destroyed. It's snapped. Mm. It's gone. It's not even back in the drawer. It's not even in the house. The Houston Astros, a 6-3 win over Miami. Good. You're supposed to beat the Marlins. They're the second worst team in all of Major League Baseball. A victory yesterday for the Astros, 6-3. They were a minus 178 home money line favorite. But Houston now is 5 games above .500, 49-44. The Astros have won 16 of their last 20. Donnie, we stuck the fork firmly in the Astros on a date I will always remember, June 18th. The Houston Astros were blank 2-0 against the Chicago White Sox. They were 7 games below .500, 33-40 was the mark. It was done. It was finished. It was the middle of June, getting to the later part of that month, and we said there's no way Houston comes back from this. Here they are, 5 games above .500.
It's amazing. It really is. And again, you can't just say, let's be a hater of the Houston Astros and say, well, the entire division stinks. That's why they're back. Well, the Astros were part of that stinking division a couple weeks ago. They've righted the ship here now, 49-44. Oh, but they're playing the Marlins. Who cares about that? You play who's on the front of your schedule. And quite frankly now, maybe even enough to win the division by the All-Star break, which means a couple weeks ago, we thought they would be out and maybe like sellers at the deadline. They might be going all in, thinking like, hey, we got another chance to win a World Series here. Let's try to make it work. But we also told you yesterday, we didn't know much about Bloss being a pitcher in Major League Baseball. 4 innings pitched, 2 earned runs. He was fine there. But we did tell you Munoz might have been the worst pitcher on the card yesterday, and he didn't disappoint, Ben. 6 2/3 innings pitched, 6 runs given up, only 4 of those earned, but only 2 strikeouts and 2 walks, which means the baseball was in play. Jordan Alvarez didn't even play in that game yesterday. And you know what I said? Give me a left-handed batter to go against Munoz. Picked out Singleton at over a plus 200 and cashed in an RBI. That's a nice win for the Astros, and that's not a surprise they won yesterday. They were supposed to do that against Munoz and the Marlins.
The Yanks, the pennant favorites in the American League, plus 250, 50 cents in front of the O's, 3-1 on Baltimore. Cleveland, best record in the American League, in front in the American League Central, plus 600, third best price. There are then 3 teams tied for the 4th best number, Seattle, Minnesota, in Houston at plus 750. The Astros still 2 games back of the Mariners. They opened up a weekend set in Anaheim with an 11-0 victory over the Halos. One final game to talk about. 2 teams below .500, maybe not in the playoff race. What might they do ahead of the deadline at the end of this month? But the Blue Jays do win the final game of the series in San Francisco against the Giants, 5-3. The only reason I bring this game up, DRS, Mike Yastrzemski, as the Giants were down 5-2 in the bottom of the ninth, hits a solo shot. Total was 7.5. DRS said, normally you don't bet the over in a day game in San Francisco, but we're going to go over today because of the solo shot from Yastrzemski, and over cashes a ticket for Donnie Wright's side.
I'm telling you, yesterday, watching this game, like out of the corner of my eye, you see the 3-2 at the end of the first inning, like, boy, you can't get a better start to a game. I am a genius. And I watched that play out, and even you tacked on one in the 4th and in the 5th. I got an entire game basically to play now to get 1 run. All right, nothing in the 6th, no big deal. Nothing in the 7th, nothing in the 8th. And even as I was watching the highlights on the MLB Network, they were going live to that game in the 9th inning and just showing the score update. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, they're not going to score. So I didn't even see the bottom of the 9th inning live there and saw it later on in the day. Like, that's one for the good guys there. We've all been in that spot. Total 7.5, you get 5 in the 1st inning. You're already taking money out of your wallet to go pay for something with the winnings of that baseball game, only to watch it sweat to a meaningless run for the game, but not for us here with a total to the over. Thank goodness that one worked out there. Just got through.
Now let's get international. Semifinal action yesterday at the Championships Wimbledon. In the women's draw has been hectic and chaotic and uncertain. Barbora Krejcikova gets the upset yesterday over the 2022 Wimbledon champ and the hefty favorite still remaining, Elena Rybakina. Krejcikova is going to be the favorite against Jasmine Paolini in the women's championship match come tomorrow. Talk about a shocker, DRS.
Yeah, just wait till she has to play. Who's she play? Swiatek in the final? Like, I haven't been keeping up too much with Wimbledon.
Iga got bounced a long time ago. No. Jasmine Paolini,
really?
Who has made her second consecutive Grand Slam title match. She also did so last month in Paris at Roland Garros. She's the underdog.
Impressive there. Yeah, we're going to need, you know what? We need a breakdown of these matches here. Hopefully the weekend shows on the Sports Grid Network will help us out with that. That's what I'm hoping, because I need a primer here before the women's and the men's finals. That's just what I'm saying.
Really
maybe
well
we
said. Krejcikova, by the way. Krejcikova, 190-1 before the tournament to win the women's title. It is semifinal Friday in the men's draw. Carlos Alcaraz and Daniil Medvedev. Alcaraz, the reigning champ, -350 to advance back to his second consecutive championship match at Wimbledon. In the other semifinal, Novak Djokovic, a hefty favorite, -900 against Lorenzo Musetti, +590, the underdog. Will Djokovic have a hostile crowd today in London, or one that is not ruining him?
Yeah, hopefully he does get that. But also keep in mind, we weren't expecting him maybe to even play in this Wimbledon tournament. And you need breaks to win championships. So for that need to get a break where he didn't have to play an extra match here, that's huge. Looking forward to this weekend's action. But who knows? Maybe the stars will provide that drama on Sunday afternoon.
Carlos Alcaraz, the title favorite right now to win two straight at -120. Djokovic looking for his eighth Wimbledon crown. That would tie Roger Federer for the most all time. He has the most individual Grand Slam titles in the Open era, man or woman, at 24 of those. Some Scottish Open talk, some WNBA conversation. So much coming your way next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We keep it international live right here on this Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. 1 week away from the final major championship this year in golf. That's the Open Championship at Royal Troon in Scotland. We head to Scotland for the Scottish Open. Rory McIlroy, the reigning champ at the Scottish Open, making his return to professional golf for the first time since the disaster at the United States Open and when he peeled off in the parking lot down in North Carolina. But a good opening round for the defending champ, 5 under par 65 to get things going at the Scottish Open. It was good for tied at 8th in his first round. Entered the second round with the second best price. Still has the second best price at round number 2 is underway over in Scotland. Ludvig Aubert, who is going to be somebody flirting with the top of the leaderboard pretty much every single time there is a big golf tournament, now sits in first at 12 under par, +210. He is the favorite, is Aubert, to win this tournament.
Yeah, 64-64 start over there, which is pretty impressive. And also like the fact that a lot of these golfers now going over and playing in this tournament to sort of get acclimated to the time zone and also the type of golf that they're going to be playing the following week in the British Open. Some big names out there as well. Colin Morikawa, 9 under after firing a 65-66. So a lot of good names will be at the top of that leaderboard trying to hone their skills for next week's Open Championship.
Justin Thomas got off to a great start, but 2 over in his second round. You saw there, he was the pre-second round favorite at +550. Again, Open Championship next weekend at Royal Troon. Not a far trip away from the Renaissance Golf Club in North Berwick, Scotland. Now we go to the only game we had yesterday in the WNBA. A couple of notes, of course, to make. The New York Liberty win by 15 at home, 91-76, in front of a record crowd inside the Barclays Center for a Liberty game. In front of a record crowd, New York delivers and wins and covers as a 9.5-point favorite. But more history yesterday for Angel Reese. 10 points, 10 boards, her 15th consecutive double-double. However, you see the field goal percentage, 5 of 17. There was a stretch under 3.5 minutes left where she missed two shots, has that unrelenting motor, got two consecutive offensive rebounds. She was subbed out immediately as they were trailing by a ton after getting that 10th and final rebound. Donnie, you have made the point. and it's been social media conversation. And I actually kind of feel bad a little bit for Angel Reese, because we should be celebrating her historic and record-setting marks, but it's almost like the record is now getting slightly diminished because of the emphasis placed on the record and not necessarily winning and good basketball.
Now, look, let me put this in, like, the history of what I have done here, Ben. You ready for this? I'm going to take you back in time to the 1990s. Right. Now, typically, you might find me as one of the more selfish athletes on the planet, which I was a wide receiver. That's what we are by nature. My sophomore season, Ben, get this. Final game of the season, William Patterson University, Salisbury State University. I needed three catches to break the all-time single-season record in receptions in that ball game. In the first half, I caught a 22-yard touchdown pass. I'm like, hey, I'm on my way. One more is going to get me the tie. Two more is going to get me the actual record. I caught a pass early in the second half. I need one more. We're down in the fourth quarter. It should be easy. Quarterback gets injured in that game. The third string quarterback comes in. We're late. We can't win this ball game. You know what that quarterback says to me in the huddle? Donnie, I'm just going to take the snap and fire a rocket screen to you so you can get that record. You know what I said, Ben? We can't do that. We're trying to operate the offense at this point. I just don't feel right doing that. So I sacrificed. I didn't get the record that day because I chose team over individuality, which is crazy because I usually would be the opposite at that point here. But we are finding Angel Reese. You have a double-double streak. You want to keep it going. The team thinks it's important. And I talked about from a betting strategy, just continue to bet those double-doubles because it's apparent. Even when they're getting hammered in games or they're up late, they are actively trying to get that streak and keep it going. It's almost reminiscent of what we saw for the San Francisco 49ers with Christian McCaffrey and that touchdown streak. If you weren't betting his touchdowns every single week, you were doing it wrong because they were actively making sure they were trying to get that form. And even in the game he didn't do it, they tried their damnedest to get him a touchdown. It just didn't work out. So use that to your advantage. But just wanted to take you a little history lesson that I'm always not the selfish guy, Ben. Sometimes I could be a team player.
I love history lessons with Donnie Wrightside. I appreciated that story, Donnie, and admirable of you. Angel Reese, minus 320 to record a double-double yesterday. She does that. She already has the record. She surpassed Candace Parker with 13 consecutive double-doubles. Getting even in the single-season record happened a while ago. More on the hardwood as Hour 2 starts next.